This morning, we started to look at the name Jesus. And the name simply means Savior. He came into the world to save us from our sins. His presence displays the kindness, goodness, mercy, favor of Almighty God upon us, poor, wretched sinners. That God should so love the world that he would give his only begotten Son. There is no one like him in heaven above, on earth below, or under the earth. He is absolutely unique. And the name Savior tells us he has all the attributes of God. Because in the Old Testament, the only person who could be called or described as Savior is Almighty God. And here was Almighty God in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity. The name itself, we saw this morning. Tonight, we are going to look at the second point I mentioned to you this morning. There were two points, the name, and tonight, the reasons for the name. And I have three simple reasons for the name, according to what Matthew tells us in his gospel and the sections that were read to you. And the first is this. The first reason is this. Jesus is Savior because only God can save a sinner. You get that? Jesus is Savior because only God can save a sinner. Or, to personalize it, only God could save us. Jesus did not come to make it possible that we should be saved. That would be dishonoring God, dishonoring Christ. He did not come to give us an opportunity to be saved. That would be foreign to the thinking of God and to what the scriptures teach. He did not come to make salvation possible. That would be to question the integrity and majesty and goodness and splendor of Almighty God. He came specifically, distinctly, purposefully to save his people from their sins. That's what Matthew tells us. His coming was a remedial economy. That is to say, he came for a purpose. It was to save us. And the scripture tells us this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do one thing, sinners to save. And Paul saying to us, this is a faithful saying, he means it is trustworthy. You can depend upon it that God cannot lie, that God will not lie. It is not a hoax, it is a fact. The fact is this: Jesus Christ, God, became man so that man could be saved and spend eternity with God. You can imagine that? And so he came. In a very strange way, as the reading showed us. Joseph was in a state of despair when he discovered his virgin spouse, who he was legally married to her. They were not living together yet as husband and wife, but as we saw this morning, all the documents were signed. And for his shame and embarrassment and disgust, he discovered Mary was pregnant. You can imagine that? Then God dispatched an angel. And very interestingly, it is the way the angel addressed Joseph. Joseph belonged to the royal family. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Let me explain to you the reason, the cause, or why she is with child. It is Almighty God, the God of your father David, the God of your father. Almighty God has created in her womb the very Savior he promised David, your father, the king. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and forever." You can imagine the joy, the thrill Joseph had when he got up. It was a fact. And you can imagine him running to Mary's home. "Mary, Mary, I know, God has revealed to me, you are the most privileged woman of all women, that God has chosen you and has brought upon your womb that you should give birth to his son, his only begotten son, the son of David, according to the flesh, the savior of the world." What a wonderful thing. And Mary, he comes to do a specific job, a specific work, to save his people, to rescue his people, to die that they might live, so that he might take them to heaven. The devil will not win. The atheists will not win. The agnostics will not win. God will win. Here he has given us a savior, who is Jesus. That's reason number one. Reason number two: Jesus is savior because he will be successful. Matthew used a little word. He will save his people from their sins. Not he may, not he might, or peradventure it may be, or if things go well, perhaps. No. There is a divine determination, a divine purpose, a divine work, an absolute certainty. He will. And there is no power in heaven above, on earth beneath, or under the earth that can frustrate the will of God. The will of the Savior. He will save. He's going to save. That throughout all the continents and islands, He will have a people. He will be glorified. He will be praised. They will sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. There is absolute certainty, an excitement in the angel, an excitement in Joseph, an excitement in heaven, that the work of Christ is absolutely certain. And for those of you who are tangible, who have unbelief, my friend, in your doubt, in your confusion, in your unbelief, if you do not embrace this truth, you will certainly perish. You will certainly go to hell. You will certainly die under the wrath of God. And to despise this unique, this splendid, this gift in giving us His Son. John tells us, God so loved the world. The little word so means the intensity of God's love. God's love was so intense. God's love was so inflamed. God's love possessed Him that He gave us His only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, young people, this Jesus whom we have been singing about and our friends have been reading about is the Savior of the world. There is no freedom from the shackles of sin, from slavery to sin, from the grip of sin, from the dread of sin, from the horribleness of sin. If we are outside of Him, or if we deny Him, or if we reject Him, Joseph, the angel said, he will be successful. The devil will fight against him. Men will fight against him. Herod will be there. Pontius Pilate. The Jews. The Gentiles. Why do the heathen rage and the people plot in vain and the kings of the earth have set themselves in array against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us throw away their claims on us. But Joseph, he will succeed. You may not live to see Joseph, but he will succeed. And when Mary saw him hanging on the cross, absolutely nude, he was stripped of all his garment, exposed to the wrath of God, exposed to the shame of the world. Ex-criminals on the right, criminals on the left, blaspheming him. And suddenly, the person on the middle cross spoke. He's praying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." One criminal's eyes suddenly was opened, and he turned to his mate and he said, "Don't you fear God?" And he cried to Jesus, "Jesus, Savior, remember me when you go into your kingdom." And Jesus, in excruciating pain, turned his head whether to the left or whether to the right, wherever the man was, and looked at him as he looked at Jesus. Eyeball to eyeballs, the two eyeballs met. And to hear these blessed words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, "Today, today, we will walk hand in hand into paradise." One was so close, he continued blaspheming. The other was so close, he believed. And in a congregation tonight, there were two sets of people. All of you are hearing me. Some of you will believe. Some of you will reject. Some of you will treat it with contempt. Some of you will laugh. But the one thing must be certain. God will win. God will triumph. Jesus will be successful. Be concerned for your soul, for your deliverance, for the preciousness of your soul, that God was pleased to impale his Son on the cross, that we might live and spend eternity with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the archangels and angels, and all the people of God. My friends, come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Reason number one, Jesus is Savior because only God can save. Reason number two, Jesus is Savior because he will be successful. Reason number three, Jesus is Savior because he has the power to save anyone who comes to him. But somebody will say, "Well, man, you don't know me. You do not know the kind of person I am. You do not know the kind of sin I am in. You do not know the sin I have committed." That's the trouble with you preachers. You are making general statement. "You do not know me. God will never accept a person like me." Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Was there a worse villain than Saul of Tarsus? A murderer, a blasphemer of Jesus Christ, persecuted his people, committed them to prison, voted against them. When they were stoned to death, he was there. He said, "I fought with myself. I must do everything in my power against Jesus of Nazareth. This is not the Messiah. This is not the Savior. He is a villain. He is a crook. He is not. He cannot be." And with a document in his hand. And it was a historical document. Making his way to Damascus, to arrest Jews. Because in that document, the high priest, as head of that nation, had power to arrest priests or arrest Jews wherever they were in the Roman world and take them to Jerusalem there to be punished. That was the document he had. And on his way, the sun is hot. It is absolutely blazing. We are not told he had a horse. We are not told how he traveled, but here he was traveling up to Damascus. And suddenly, over the brightness of the sun, over the blazing brightness of the sun, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He fell and he cried. He tried to look and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And there Jesus showed himself, saying, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Get up and go into the city, and it will be told you what you will do." The vision, the splendor, the majesty, the glory of the Lord Jesus blinded him. He got up. They had to take him from A to B. He got up. And for 3 days and 3 nights, there he was in Damascus. Until a believer came, said to him, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared to you on the way, have sent me that you may receive your sight and be baptized." And suddenly, scales drop off his eyes. A blasphemer. A persecutor. Yes. And if Jesus Christ not only saved him, but made him the apostle to the Gentiles, how much more he will have mercy upon us. You say, "Well, I have blasphemed his name. I have cursed Jesus. I have blasphemed God. I am determined. I am an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I am an unbeliever. I'll have nothing to do with Jesus." My friend, be careful. That is serious. The Bible says this: "Now is the right time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden yourself. Do not stiffen yourself. Do not put your back against the wall. I am not going to believe." Wait a minute. Don't be that stubborn. He may summon you tonight in your sleep to appear before him, or on your way home, he may call you and say, "Time is up." What will you do? When you stand before your judge, all soiled and stained in your sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ was shed that you might be cleansed and washed from all your sin and enter heaven. You have two choices: either to believe or to remain in unbelief. And I plead with you, I beg you, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You will be secure. You will be pardoned. You will be cleansed. You will be made a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. My friend, I plead with you, do not stay where you are. Make your way to Christ. make your way to Christ, make your way to Christ, make your way to Christ, and come and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Jesus, Savior, pardon my sin. Jesus, cleanse me from my sin. Make me a child of yours by faith in yourself. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Any person, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, any young person who comes in this way, Jesus will welcome them, welcome him, welcome her, and will say, today you will be with me in paradise. You see that? Because Jesus has the power, the omnipotence, the might, the strength to save all who come to him by faith. That's the purpose. That's the reason for the name. One, Jesus is Savior because God alone can save. Two, Jesus is Savior because he will be successful. Three, Jesus is Savior because he has the power, the determination, the sovereignty, the omnipotence to save the worst of sinners. And my friend, if he could save Saul of Tarsus, if he could save a criminal on the cross, if he could save Rahab the prostitute, if he could save the woman of Samaria whose life was a sex mess, and cleanse them and wash them and make them beautiful children of God by faith in himself, there is nothing this Jesus cannot do to save us from our sin. He has done it all. We need to turn away from our sins and come and embrace him, who has offered himself to us freely in the gospel. This is the grand and glorious gospel that is called good news for us today. Let us sing our closing hymn.